Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, it's impossible to move forward in life when you're stuck. And how do we get stuck? We get stuck when we get given or we obtain information that conflicts. Conflicting information is the number one creator of failure. Now, let me say that again. Conflicting information is the number one creator of failure. So right now, every single day you're getting bombarded on the news about to mask or not to mask. I defy anybody, with any kind of intellectual prowess at all to make any sense of what any of these talking heads are saying on either side of the issue. All right? We've got proof that the masks didn't do any good. We've got proof that the masks do good. One mask wasn't enough. You need two masks. But then if you had, you know, the shots, then you don't need the mask. Well, now you have the shot, you need the mask. These guys are creating so much doubt, so many conflicting statements, that people won't take action. They're not going to get a shot. They don't know. First of all, the Democrats said the shot was a Republican shot, so the Democrats won't take it. Then the Republicans are saying it's the Democrats trying to force you to take a shot, so the Republicans won't take it. And again, all this goes back and forth about it's safe, it's not safe, what age you can take it and not take it. And to me, all of this is just nonsense. All of this conflicting information is what's keeping people stuck from taking practical action that could change their lives. So as I sit here and I go through this, I'm trying to use this as an example because everybody feels this right now. You all know what I'm talking about. It's just insanity. You can see it's insanity. So what's the other side of the insanity? The other side of the insanity is to be able to use common sense, is to be able to look to people that are successful and make decisions and take actions. So it doesn't matter what you think. I don't care what you think. And that's the important part, is I don't care what you think. I care what I think. So when COVID came out, at the time I was trying to be a bodybuilder again. I was going to try to win the over 70 Mr. America, Mr. Universe contest. So I'd pop my body weight back up to 255. And my daughter was trying to get a pro card, so she was going to be a pro bodybuilder. And I thought we'd go there together and, you know, win some contests together as father-daughter kind of contest. But then COVID came. And then I had to make some practical decisions. And the first practical decision was, when you weigh 255 pounds on a frame that in high school was an athlete at 185 pounds, it meant that I was carrying way more body weight than my heart, lungs, liver, kidneys could easily take care of. Could they take care of it? Hey, I was alive. I didn't have any major diseases from it other than diabetes, high blood pressure, high liver count, cholesterol. So in other words, they had all kinds of things. But they didn't mean anything. Just like right now, you deciding that because you're a Republican, you're not going to get a shot for the sheer arrogance of you're not going to tell me what to do, even though the shot might save your life. I decided I better lose the weight. My arrogance would have wanted me to stay a bodybuilder, but I decided not to. I decided to lose the weight. That was no fun because I was just starting to get good and people were starting to recognize me in the gym. Wow, look at that. And you're how old? And I let it all go. Why? Because my common sense said I'd rather be alive if I get COVID and I'm 50 pounds overweight. And by the way, it could have been all muscle. It doesn't matter. It's weight. And so I started losing the weight, and I went and got the COVID shot. When they said, hey, you're up, your number's been drawn, because I'm old and I have symptoms that would make me eligible. I was one of the first people that got the shot, and I got it. And I didn't care if it was a Republican or a Democrat giving me the shot. All I knew was the fact, it's 99.9% effective in reducing the symptoms of COVID. There was no guarantee that it would eliminate COVID, that you would never contract COVID or never be a carrier of COVID. It was 99.9% effective in making sure you don't die from COVID. Now take your Republican BBBS and your Democratic BBBS and shove it down your throat and choke on it, because it's all lies. My common sense said, Del, stay alive. Now let's talk about your financial situation. People are doing the same thing. You've been told the way that it works is you go to school and get good grades, then get into college and get good grades, and get out and get an internship, or maybe go back and get another couple of years of college and become a doctor or a master's of something. Then you go get a job, an internship, and a job, and you work for 40 or 45 years. You put money in a 401k, and by the time you're old and gray and achy and worn out and your life's almost over, you get to stop working and retire. Except for the fact you don't have any money, because nowhere in that plan did they say create passive streams of income that will support you once you retire. So the system fails. I believed in that system. I went through that system. But by the time I was 27 years old, working 60 to 80 hours a week, 6 days a week, doing that for 12 years straight, and then going through a stock market crash in 87 or whatever that was, black market days, realizing that the whole plan was a lie. The entire plan that I had been fed since I was a kid was a lie. It didn't work. I watched my dad work until he died. He had a job up to the day he died at 65 years of age. Wow. And then I said, you know what? I don't care if it's the Republicans feeding me this garbage or if it's the Democrats feeding me this garbage, you know, saying I should go out there and be on welfare or I should go out there and have a job. I'm not listening to either of them. I dislike both political parties because they want to control and manipulate you for their bidding. I want to control my life for my own success. And so I decided that I was going to do something no one else did. I started looking for passive streams of income. Went through two or three or four different things. We all look at multi-level market. We all look at a bunch of these little things. And they just were ridiculous. They were just junk. Then I came across this concept. Buy a rent house. Make positive cash flow. It was so simple. So clean. And as you do, you develop the accumulation of assets. And the accumulation of assets continues to grow as you buy one more, and then one more, and then one more. And you watch as your friends have no money. They have no wealth. They have no passive streams of income. But you just slowly but surely click along from one house to 10. I went from 10 to 20, from 20 to 40, from 40 to 100, and clicked along. And one day I looked up and realized I was rich. And I looked around all my friends, and they were still there, and they were poor. They had their 401ks, which meant nothing. They had their IRAs, which meant nothing. They had a whole bunch of nothing except for a job. And the day that they thought that job wouldn't let them down, the job lets them down. Pay cut, retirement, shift cuts, transfers, you name it. The job did it to him. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about making decisions and not getting hung up in all of the peripheral information that's out there. One of the ones right now is, oh my gosh, Del, what's going to happen with all this massive inflation the Democrats are going to create? And or are they right, the Democrats right, saying that this is just a temporary thing that's happening because of the rebound from COVID and et cetera, et cetera. So you're getting it from both sides, Democrats lying out of their teeth this way, the Republicans bringing their argument the other way. Now, say this one, the Democrats are definitely lying in this case. There is going to be massive inflation if they pass all these bills. Everybody knows it. Both the Republicans and the Democrats know that. And so the question then becomes, well, what does that mean to us? And my answer is nothing. Why? Because I have millions, tens of millions of dollars of assets. And if they all inflate, they all inflate. Because remember, inflation works on assets. Now, let's say things inflate like food, butter, bread, and gas. I don't drive that much, and I don't eat that much. So inflation hurts poor people. It doesn't hurt rich people. You have to understand that. Inflation helps rich people get richer. And so the rich get richer and the poor get poorer when they create inflation. They're watering down the buying power of the average person who barely can buy what they need now. So what does that do to housing? It inflates the bejeebers out of the cost of housing. So what happens? People can't afford to buy houses. Well, where do they live? Well, if you're not in California where they live on the street, everywhere else, they rent apartment complexes and or rent houses because they can't afford to buy one, but they can afford to rent one. They can't come up with the down payment money. They don't have the debt-to-income ratio necessary for these expensive homes. But the houses that we bought 5, 10, 20 years ago that we own for pennies on the dollar compared to what they cost today, we can afford to rent them out at a large positive cash flow. Even some of the stuff we buy today. And it's interesting because even when there's very little product out there for people to buy on the low-end side, which would be the starter home industry, investors still seem to find the stuff because we buy it the way they can't buy it. We buy it totally torn up, worn out, and old, and then we fix it up and make it new. But people buying their first home, number one, can't even see through that garbage to know that it could be nice again. Number two, can't get the cash to fix it up. And number three, can't qualify for a loan because the house is too torn up to be able to get a loan on it. So we buy it with hard money and or cash, and we fix it up and then refinance it and pull the money back out. They can't do that. So the low-end, inexpensive houses that do come on the market are all purchased by investors. And so what happens to housing? Let me read Marcus Millchap's second quarter report on multifamily housing. Marcus Millchap is a commercial broker. They sell all commercial real estate. So they don't have single family, although they do have reports on single family, but this is more about multifamily, this statement. Multifamily leasing resumes in force. This is for the second quarter 2021. Ongoing employment growth and the resumption of many normal routines bolster household formation in the spring and summer. Now, household formation, for those of you who have not heard this term, is where kids leave home and go start a new household, or two people get married and start a new household, but there's a new buying unit on the market to buy a place to live. It's a household unit. So there's new household formation. because kids are moving out from their parents, because kids are getting married and moving out. It's when you move away from somebody else you're living. Maybe you have a roommate and you decide to not have a roommate anymore, et cetera, et cetera. It's leading a record number of apartments being absorbed into the second quarter. Absorption means there are vacant units that have just been built. They've never been leased yet. To be absorbed means they have been leased for the first time and they're now part of the availability of rental housing. Now, we could be 98% occupied and they could build another 100 units and we've got to absorb those units. If we kept building and we didn't absorb, then rents would go down because there would be too much inventory and not enough demand. The problem is there's too much demand and not enough inventory. Now, that's a problem for you. That's not a problem for me because I own the real estate and so do all my Lifestyles members here. So we have a product that's in super high demand that is inflating as fast as the Democrats can make it inflate. And it has gone from being in the beginning when I first started doing real estate, your rent could only be one quarter of your total income. If you made $10,000 a month, you could only rent $2,500 a month. If you made $5,000 a month, you could only rent at $1,200 a month. But now housing has gotten so expensive that housing is up. It went from 25% to one-third. So if you made $3,000, you could rent for $1,000. And it's now got up to 50%. 50% of your income is going to housing. Think of that. And who owns all that housing? We do. How many years have I been on the radio telling you this? 30 years. How long has this been happening? 30 years. How much longer is it going to happen? 30 more years. So while you sit here and try to time the market and time the Republicans and time the Democrats and time the policies and time the laws, I just keep buying more for 30 years. I just bought six more buildings this year. Six more. Six more businesses I started. I also started another software company. So I'm out here increasing my net hold, increasing my net investment. And you're sitting there worrying about COVID. Mask, don't mask, do mask, shot, do shot, don't shot. None of that even passes my mind in any one day. I don't care. And if they make us all start wearing masks again, I'll just put on a mask. I don't really care. And if they don't make me wear one, I won't wear one because I've got the vaccine. So I don't even have to think about that garbage. When you talk about thinking about inflation, I don't worry about inflation because I actually enjoy inflation. It's not a problem for me. It goes on and says, the rapid acceleration of housing demand drops the vacancy rate 90 basis points year over year. By the way, basis points is 100. There's 100 basis points to a point, okay? So 90 basis points, about 1 point, 1 percentage point. Year over year to 3.8% vacancy rate. 3.8% vacancy rate nationwide, just above the two-decade low. In other words, it's the lowest it's been in 20 years. Vacancy is. We're full. And you're going, but there's that all that stuff about you can't evict people. We don't need to evict people. People are paying us because they want a place to live. Yeah, if you rent to Purple Martian people, they don't pay. But that's not who our clientele is. Take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. politicians, and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. As we went to break, we're going through a Marcus Millichap report for second quarter. And I'll just finish it up for you and we'll move on. It says, fundamentals are expected to stay strong going forward, even as eviction moratoriums phase out in the coming months. The rising cost of homeownership, paired with the return of many employees and students to the offices and campuses, will bolster already high renter demand. Apartments near colleges may be particularly hard to come by, as numerous students have already secured housing for the fall. So what do you want to buy? What kind of an asset do you want to own? How about one that's in massive demand, that they're not building enough of, that you can borrow money at record low interest rates to go into business with? Now think about that. Record low interest rates to buy assets that are appreciating at radically fast rates. So you're paying nothing to buy massive inflation. I just don't see how you're vacillating. I don't see what you're waiting for or thinking about, other than the fact that you can't decide if you need to wear a mask or not wear a mask, or get a shot or not get a shot. While your life passes you by and you end up through 3 or 4 or 5 years of this pandemic, because you know there's right now COVID, and there's COVID A, and there's COVID D, and there'll be COVID C and Q and whatever. Now that the government has decided that they can control and manipulate us, they're going to continue to shut us down. What's going to happen to you and your family when they shut your job down? Or they shut down a part of the economy that affects your job? Can you survive? I'm not even bothered. I didn't even worry about it. We basically just sit back and made money. Move on. Another question came in to me in the email. It's in the same vein. Said, Del, what do you think about Wells Fargo closing their lines of credit? Also, last week you were wondering out loud what the effect of inflation will be when it's time to refi multifamily properties down the line. Anything to be concerned about? All right, let's start with the Wells Fargo thing. I watched an economist the other day do a conversation about the Wells Fargo deal. And what he's talking about is that everybody out there knows there's massive inflation on the way. Everybody does. So what is the only thing that loses value during inflation? Cash, money. So banks out there who had all these lines of credit out at these record low interest rates realize they're going to be buying money 6 months to a year from now at interest rates much higher than what they've got it lent out as. So what they're trying to do is shut down their lines of credit. They want to get out of the line of credit business until interest rates go back up to 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. And then they'll get back into the credit business because then there's money to be made. But right now they're making nothing. They're selling loans for 2.5% and they're buying the money for less than 1%. The margin's next to nothing. But that margin could completely reverse on them. And if interest rates jump within 6 months to 4 or 5 or 6, they're going to be upside down on all those loans. They're going to be losing money. Banks know that, and they're getting out of the lending business right now. So, well, how does that affect us? Well, it affects us, as I've seen the other day. If you've got a loan, and you're going to need to get out of that loan and refinance that loan in a short period of time, you need to get it done. You don't want to be on the other side of the window of when the interest rates go back up, because then you're going to lose your cash flow. You're going to have a higher debt service coverage, and it's going to cost you more to buy the money, and you're going to make less profit. Maybe even so little profit that's not worth doing. Maybe even go out of business. So if you've got a loan that needs to be refinanced, you need to get it done now. Secondarily, if you've got a really good loan, but it looks to end up in 1 to 2 years window, you might think of selling. You might think of selling to get out of that loan or refinancing that loan if you can. It might be a situation where you need to refinance it right now and send it out another, you know, 5 or 7 years. Yeah, inflation's going to hit, but it's not going to stay there forever because people are going to be upset. Normal people, even Democrats, will not tolerate another Jimmy Carter-type recession / stagflation where it's a recession and interest rates are through the roof. And it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. The Democrats are dumb as a rock when it comes to money. They always have been. They have no idea how to manage money. And they're the social people. They're on social issues. That's all they care about. And they think money grows on trees because the Fed can produce money, but they don't understand what the byproduct of the Fed producing all that money is. So yeah, that's where it's at. Banks are getting out of cash. You need to get out of cash and get yourself some real estate right now. Next email says, good morning, Dell. I've heard you tell the story of how you started in real estate. If I'm correct, it was using your credit cards and you got as many houses as you could with the amount of credit cards you had at the time. I plan on doing something similar. I'm self-employed, so I have to wait to start investing next year once I have my 2 years of tax returns. But when I do, I want to start with my savings first, which is $40,000. Then, when that runs out, I have about $36,000 in business lines of credit and personal credit with no interest for 18 months. My question to you is, once I've used my saved money to get a house or two, if I use credit where I had pocket costs today, are 10 times what you paid for what you used. Let's see, my question is for you. Once I've used my saved money to get a house or two, if I use credit where out-of-pocket costs today are 10 times what you paid for when you used credit cards, how would I pay those balances down? How would you use credit lines to buy houses today? All right, first of all, back when I was buying houses with credit cards, there was no way they could track where you got the money from. So I could go down to the bank, take my credit card on the way over there, and like houses cost me like $2,000 down. That's what I could get in for. In fact, up until just about 10 years ago, we could get into a house for $5,000 down, sometimes zero down because of hard money lending. So forever, we could just go down to the bank and say, I'd like to cash advance $2,000. I'd take the $2,000 cash, go to the bank, get a money order with it or cashier's check with it, and then I would take that to the closing. And they would never check. You know, they'd already checked your credit earlier, find out if you're qualified. But nowadays, the bank actually runs a credit report on you. I believe the title company, or no, the lending company, the lenders run a credit report on you. Probably the day of or the day before they give you the money or close the deal. So they're trying to keep people from using credit as the down payment portion of the deal. So I don't think it works very well anymore. Secondly, point made that, you know, nowadays people are putting $10,000, $20,000 down. That's a lot of debt to go into, and it really doesn't make much sense anymore to do it that way. So I would say poo-poo on my old idea. It worked well for me. Why did I do it? I even actually had the cash to buy with, but I didn't want to use the cash. I was just cheap, and I thought if I could borrow the money, then I really have nothing at risk, and I've got even better leverage, right? So I thought it was a neat thing to do, and I experimented with it. But I experimented for a long time. And over the years, I built up $50,000 worth of credit card credit. And eventually I had 50 credit cards with over $500,000 worth of credit card credit. And it was all like 18 months, no payments, 6 months, no payments, no interest for a year, no interest for, you know, 6 months. And I had a spreadsheet that I put them all on. And I decided to buy an apartment complex, and I had to put $327,000 down on it. And I was messing around with a bank president at the time, spending some time, close relationship with him. I said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there, and I went to the bank, went to his bank. I said, I'm going to pull out $327,000 on these credit cards. And the bank teller freaked out, and the bank teller went and got the vice president of the bank, and the vice president of the bank went and got the president of the bank. I said, let me explain to you what I'm doing. I'm buying an apartment complex, and I'm assuming a $725,000 loan. I'm putting $325,000 down on these credit cards. And he said, well, how are you going to pay those credit cards? I said, well, I've got $50,000 a month in cash flow, whatever it was, $10,000, $20,000 a month in cash flow over here. But that's not even a problem. He said, why is that? I said, because look at my credit cards. The average, the total interest on all the cards averaged out was less than 4% interest. Because some was zero, others was, you know, very low, 3, 6, 8, 10. And secondly, there was no payments. Some for 3 months, some for 6 months, some for 12 months. And so I put it all in the spreadsheet to see that it was very simple to do. And he said, but what happens when those periods run out? I'm going to bring that back up when we come back, because I want you to understand how I did this so that you don't try to do it unless you know what I did. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today, in the last segment, I was giving an example of somebody asked me about how I bought an apartment complex with credit cards, how I bought houses with credit cards. And I was giving an example of how I bought an apartment. I put $327,000 on 27 credit cards. I did it in full view of the bank president of Wells Fargo. They saw me do it. It was sort of an example of, I want to show you how well I can manage money. I had a spreadsheet. I knew when everyone had to have a payment. Many of them had no payments for 3, 6, 9, 12 months. I knew when there were going to be payments, and I knew that the interest rates were very, very low, and I knew that I had the money to pay it out of the cash flow. But the banker then brought up the point, Del, but what happens when they run out, when these introductory periods run out? Now you're going to have $327,000 on credit cards that's probably paying like something like 21%. And then I turned the page on the spreadsheet to the next page, and I said, look at this. He said, what's that? I said, that's 27 more credit cards. I said, I have a replacement. So as soon as any one of these gets close to being at the end of their free interest and no payment period, I'm going to transfer that amount over to a different credit card that will then give me 6 months more to a year more, and I'll just move it. Then that card will come back, and they will want my business back, and they will offer me again some kind of a special. And I don't know if you lived back in those days, but there was a period of time where people were sending me offers for new credit cards every day and expanding my credit limit every day. They were just trying to expand credit because interest was pretty high. And so I did that. Now, what you need to know about this is very, very important, is that number one, I had a property that was about ready to refinance and I was going to pull out almost $1 million. So I had the money in the bank to pull out and refinance to pay these credit cards off if something went wrong. Number two, which is important, I actually had the $300,000 cash in the bank, and I just wanted to do it. I wanted to prove that I could manipulate the bank's money to where I won and they lost. And by doing so, the banker then said to me, I used to meet him every month and show him, okay, here, I made all my payments. I just want you to look at this. Because it wasn't his cards. I mean, this was Wells Fargo Bank, but it wasn't their cards. It was American Express, Discover, Visas of all kinds, MasterCards of all kinds. You name it, I had every credit card out there. Now, when I'm showing this guy this, he says, Del, why didn't you just come to me to borrow the money? I said, well, number one, I didn't think a bank would lend to the down payment on an apartment complex that you're borrowing with 75% debt on it, and I had to come up with 25%. I didn't think that you would lend to that. I said, number two, your interest rates would be 9%, and my net interest rate on this money is 4%. Would you do it for 4? The guy goes, no, I can't do it for 4. I said, okay, what can you do it for? He said, let me look into it. So he came back. And at the time, I owned 9 different companies. And he gave me a business line of credit for each company of $100,000. And the interest rate was prime minus 1. Whatever prime was, minus 1. Then he gave me a personal line of credit of another $100,000 at prime minus 1. Hence, 9 companies, 1 personal line of credit. He gave me $1 million line of personal credit. At that time, I let my credit cards go back. I no longer needed credit cards. I didn't want to hassle with them, you know, paying attention to them and whatever, because now I had established credit. And it was just something that I had decided I was going to do early on. I wanted to build banking relations. So when I walk into a bank, people will give me what I want. They don't look at me. They don't even bother looking at my financial statement, because every time I go in there, I'm bragging to them about how much money do I have at your bank? How much money do I have here? Every time I buy a new business, I go in there and I wire the money from there and make it very, very obvious. Hey, I'm buying another business, blah, blah, blah. I keep checking accounts. I've got like 13 different checking accounts from 13 different companies in their bank, and savings accounts and credit cards for the businesses. Each business, I use credit cards so my employees don't have to come to me for money. They just put it on the credit card. So I built the banking relations. So now if I want something, there's no question. Well, it built from there to everywhere I go. And almost anything I try to buy now, apartment complexes, they'll just go, we know you're good for it. Just make us an offer. We know we can get you the financing. It's not a problem. You're a prime candidate. Why am I a prime candidate? What makes me a prime candidate? Because I have millions and millions and millions of dollars in cash sitting in banks all over the place. About 20 some different bank accounts spread out all over the place. In fact, it might even be more. It's probably more like 30. And because I owned probably $500 million worth of assets. I don't know the number. I'm making that number up, but it's some large amount. Let's say it's $100 million or more in assets. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have perfect credit. So why do I tell you that? Because I built that reputation. Never paid late. Always paid on time or paid in advance. Even with every creditor I ever had in the apartment industry, I always made sure the creditors got paid by the time the bill was due. I never hung anybody out for 30, 60, 90 type payments and any of that stuff. I just created a complete environment of perfect credit. And I have a definition for credit. I don't think credit's even a word. I think credit is short for the real word, which is credibility. Credibility is to tell someone you'll do something and then do it. So if I tell you I'll pay you back and I don't, then I don't have credibility. I have bad credit. And that, my friends, is the worst thing you can do to your investment career, your life career, your spouse, your family, your friends, is to lie about what you will and won't do. You go buy a car and don't pay for it. You go buy a house and don't pay for it. You go buy an investment and don't pay for it. You have debt and you don't pay for it, or bills, you don't pay for it. Then don't come talking to me, because I don't like people that don't have credibility. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
For listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.